Let's welcome Ben now. Come on, Ben. Bob. Ben, it's Bob. Come on, Bob.
The name is Bob.
Very similar.
Move that out of the way. One of the teachers of the law came and heard him debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is a commandment which we are taught as being fundamental to our faith." But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, the second is this: love your neighbour. We are taught that loving our neighbour is also important, and we strive to do this. Who is our neighbour? It could be you. It could be somebody in the street. It could be somebody who lives next door to you. But we're all neighbours. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. But typically, when we get to that last one, love yourself, we go, I don't love myself. And we find all the faults for not loving ourselves. I don't like the way you made me. I don't like this. I don't like that. We start being negative. But I heard a conference. I was at a conference in Tacoma in Washington a couple of years back, and I heard a message. My message is not mine. This is not my message. This is something I heard. I just had a bit of, added some vegetables to the meat. But it was a very important message. Steve Johnson led the New York City Church of Christ for 20 years. Now leads the church in Portland, Oregon. He's written some musicals, Upside Down. He's written some songs, Men Who Dream. He's written a book. You look at his resume and you think he got it made. Not so. Steve shared a story about himself. They were planning a charity run in Portland. 50 miles. So they were setting up teams to run this 50 miles. Steve made a mistake of comparing himself with others. His mantra became, I'm old, I'm fat, I'm slow. I'm old, I'm fat, I'm slow. Well, I can relate to two of those. And there ain't no one in the middle. That was his mantra. What went wrong? He compared himself. But how did he deal with his feelings? Not by self-help books, which are gazillions on the bookshelves. Not by brushing it under the carpet. Not by denying it. What he did, he used scripture. He used the word of God. And basically, it's the only answer to the problems we face on a daily basis. So today, I would like us to think about this hidden commandment. Love yourself applies to us. What does it mean to love ourselves? And I'm going to use the story of Joseph to illustrate various ways that we can think of ourselves. So turn to John 8, verse 31. Basic problem is we can talk devil talk and accuse ourselves. I can become angry with myself and become self-accusing. I was bullied at school, so it became a defense mechanism. I would never be any good at anything. I would never succeed. I'd always get things wrong. You know, back at the 20th anniversary service, I took some video. A lot of video. I got home. I loaded it onto my computer. Oh, dear. Out of focus. Wrong colour balance. Blah, blah, blah. Not much of it, but there was enough of it to make me think, I can't get this right. I've made mistakes. I'll never get this right. I've done that when taking videos on the trains, you know, all sorts of things. I will never, ever get this right. Devil talk. Most of it was actually good. I've not got around to doing anything with it, but most of it was actually good. But I looked at the negative stuff. Slight colour balance here. Oh, that bit's out of focus. But, you know, things like that. To love ourselves, maybe we need to change our mindset. Mm-hmm. We become slaves to a mindset.
Yeah.
In John 8, Jesus is talking to the Jews, saying who he is. And the Jews, especially the Pharisees, don't like it because they say, well, your testimony is not valid. But Jesus said, yes, I am. You don't understand. I'm from God. But they couldn't get it. But in verse 30, he said, at that point, some of the Jews had faith in him. Started to believe. So in John 8, verse 31, Jesus says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So basically, Jesus is trying to get them to change their mindset. Believe in me. But then he goes on. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8, verse 32. That last statement upset the Jews. They were slaves. Their mindset was their belief that they were the sons and daughters of Abraham. We are the children of God. How dare you say we're slaves? We are free. That was their mindset. But Jesus is saying, no, you're not. He's saying, you are slaves of the devil. John 8, 44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 8, verse 44. Our mindsets can be formed as a result of listening to Satan's lies, and therefore is not the real truth about us. So it needs to be challenged. But what happened? You know, here's something that happened to me a few years ago. Well, more than a few years ago, when I was in my 20s. Long time ago. No, just a few years ago. As I've shared before, I was in the Freemasons. My dad wanted me to go into Freemasons, so I went in the Freemasons. But result of bad experiences while trying to speak at Freemasons lodges, I developed a deep fear. Paranoid. I was, you know, I'd be petrified of speaking. Far worse than you can imagine. But now I can see a reason for it. And I'll share more later on. God actually wanted me to think that way. For a reason. But I had, you know, for me at that time, it was Satan talking. But Jesus, you know, when we get somebody to challenge our minds, how do we react? This is what happened with Jesus. John 8, 58 and 59. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. John 8, 58 and 59. So what happened? They wanted to stone him. They didn't like his challenge to them. How do we react? Do we want to stone the person who challenged us? Or do we humbly accept that what they say could be right? We need to be humble about it when people challenge us. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're talking about loving ourselves, but there's a correct way of loving ourselves, and there's an incorrect way of loving ourselves. This is what Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. There are a lot of people around here who believe they're godly. Having a form of godliness, doing the right things. They may go to church. They could pray, read the Bible, even reach out to people. But what are they doing? Are they godly? Are they controlled by a mindset of God, or are they controlled by a mindset of Satan? You can tell them by their fruit. But people want to feel loved and valued, but go about it the wrong way. The only way to be loved and valued is to have a godly view of ourselves. We need to love ourselves in the way that God loves us. He's not after our talents. He gave us those things so we can glorify Him.
Amen.
And not ourselves. Too many of us have focused on the doing. I used to be like that. If I do this, if I do that, pick up people, drive people here, you know, just make myself look good. It's a coping mechanism. We want to feel good about ourselves. So that's the way we do it. We end up sweeping the problems. And there were a lot of problems in my life, still are. We sweep the problems under the carpet and don't deal with them in a godly way. We become selfish and inward focused because we don't face up to how God feels about us. Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's workmanship. I want to talk about the Jacobites. Not the clan in Scotland. But the sons and daughters of Jacob. In Genesis 37, we see sibling rivalry. We see arrogance, hatred, favoritism, and incest. A typical dysfunctional family. In fact, if you read through Genesis, just about every family is dysfunctional in some way or other. But what went wrong? Well, there's Jacob showing favoritism to Joseph. Bought him a coat. His brothers didn't like that. Brothers didn't like it even more when Joseph said, you're going to bow down to me one day. So what do? They wanted to kill him. One of his brothers said, not so sure about that. That was Reuben. Let's put him down a cistern. And then Judah came up with the idea of selling him to the Ishmaelites. But God had a plan. But we don't know what Joseph was thinking when he was in the cistern. What was he thinking? Wow, what have I done? Oh man, this is terrible. Or maybe he's thinking, well, maybe I deserve this. We don't know. Could he have affected his future thinking? Was he influenced by the past? I've been very much influenced by my past. You know, this constant drive, I've got to be the best. That's what my dad wanted. He wanted the best. You've got to be the best at everything. And you can't. You know, it's the more you think, the more you try to be the best at everything, the less effective you become. It actually puts people off. You know, I found that as a disciple, a young disciple, I was just, you know, people didn't want to know me. Because I was always trying to impress them. It took me a good bit of going through the furnace to discover that people are not after what I can do. They want to know who I am. That's the most important thing. God knows who I am. God knows what I can do. He's given me talents. And I've just got to use them in the right way. But Joseph was in the system thinking. Well, we don't know what he was thinking. But I hope he was thinking positive thoughts. You know, being bullied at school, that was the worst thing for me. But I have a question. Could you look, if Jesus came and sat next to you right now, could you look him in the eyes and say, I don't like the way you made me? I don't like the way you made me, Jesus. What did David say? Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Psalm 139. Another good passage is Romans 9, verses 19 to 21. It talks about the potter and the clay. I don't like the way you made me, potter. No, you're the clay. I make you how I want you to be. But we can't do good works, the good works that God wants us to do, unless we feel good about the way ourselves in a godly way. And that's the truth. We can do good works. We're all striving to do good works, but the good works that God wants us to do will only happen if we think of ourselves in a godly way. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Here's a story I read in a book by Gordon Ferguson, The Heart Set Free. How much are you really worth? An ugly, bilious green chair sat on top of a trash pile awaiting the arrival of the garbage truck. Those who passed by and saw the chair thought to themselves, I don't blame those people for throwing that hideous chair away. In fact, I wonder why it took them so long. However, one person had an entirely different reaction when he passed by and saw the chair. He quickly pulled his station wagon over to the curb, jumped out, grabbed the chair, put it in the back of his vehicle and drove away. When the antique dealer got the chair home, he began stripping off the many coats of paint until he was down to the original wood. Once restored, the chair was a thing of beauty and value. To the eyes of the unaware, the chair was junk. To the trained eye of the antique dealer, it was an object to be esteemed. The layers of ugly paint did not take away the basic nature of the chair underneath. We are that chair, and the paint on that chair is our sin. The way we see us, the way that most people saw that chair was they saw the sin. They didn't see the beauty underneath. It took God to see the beauty of the chair. It takes God to see the beauty of every single one of us. Imagine yourself as being different. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 20, 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do we limit ourselves? Moses had a stammer. Exodus 4 verse 10. Isaiah was a man of unclean lips. Isaiah 6 verse 5. Jeremiah, I'm too young. Jeremiah 1 verse 6. Do we look at our weaknesses? Elijah. Not Elijah Stephen Boyd, the other one. Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal on his own apart from God. Destroy the prophets of Baal. Great faith. But when threatened by Jezebel, ran for his life. Abraham, the man of faith in the Bible. What happened when he went to Egypt? Oh, Sarah, she's my sister, not my wife. He lied. Lost faith. David, a man after God's own heart. Had an idol in his house. Committed adultery and murder. Samuel, a prophet, but he went to sacrifice at the high place, verse Samuel chapter 9, and had two sons who didn't follow the Lord. But God was able to use those men, despite their limitations and weaknesses. You know, do we ask God to change us, or do we accept our limitations? Second point, believe it is possible. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. Romans 12 verse 2. Some of you may have heard of Tom Jones. He's the editor of DPI Books. Right. He has MS. And I read his story. amazing. He actually accepted and was grateful for his illness. He actually said, you know what? I'm grateful for this. He writes a weekly email out called Mind Change Moments. I don't know whether you've read it, but it's a fairly short story each week, but it's very useful to help us develop a more spiritual mindset. Let's go back to Joseph. Joseph's in prison, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. But what was his attitude when we see him in prison? He had a deep reliance on God and was close to him. There was nobody else around. He was on his own. Then we get the baker and the cupbearer. They have dreams. Joseph interprets the dreams and they go off. The baker gets hanged, the cupbearer gets restored to his place, but forgets about Joseph. What was Joseph's attitude? Well, he carried on serving and being godly. But here's the thought. Did God have a plan for Joseph to stay in prison? He knew that Pharaoh was going to have a dream, and he knew somebody was needed to be interpreted. So if Joseph had been let out, he may not be able to be found. So God kept Joseph in prison so that somebody would know where he was. You know, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Despite my experience in speaking at Freemasons' lodges, I have come to the conclusion it was God's plan for me. Because when I'm up here speaking, I don't rely on my own talents. I can't. I have to rely on God every single time. I still get petrified. Seriously, I get petrified. But God is working through me. Not my talents, it's God. Romans 8, verses 1 to 4. Who is condemning us? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. That's Romans 8, verses 1 to 4. So who's condemning you right now? I'm not. God certainly isn't. So who's making these accusations? Is your past, is Satan whispering in your ears? Think about that. Is your past condemning you? Is your past holding you back? Is your past saying, you can't do this, you can't do that? Yes, you can in Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Too often we take our thoughts and make them slaves to Satan's lies. We put up fortifications around our hearts and minds. We're inside. We're slaves. We're trapped by our mindsets, by our heart. We need to make our thoughts captive to Christ. Think about these fortifications put around your heart and mind. This is what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Only Jesus can break through the fortifications we put up around ourselves and take our thoughts captive. We need to stop thinking Satan's lies. We need to start thinking Jesus Christ's truths about us. You see this? The way we see the way that God sees us. Paul writes here that with spiritual weapons, we can destroy false reasoning. Spiritual weapons. The Bible. God's Word. Read it. Digest it. Think about it. Joseph, because he saw God working, even when everything was against him, was able to be reconciled to his brothers. He had made his thoughts obedient to Christ. He wasn't a victim of circumstances. He saw those circumstances and responded in a godly way. That's what Steve Johnson did. And that is what we can all do. Here's the challenges. Have a strong imagination of what you want to change and write it down. Then proclaim it by saying it out loud. That's the hidden commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. God wants you to love yourself in the way that he loves you. Imagine yourself as being different. Believe it's possible. Stop condemning yourself. Take every thought and make it captive to Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Paul. Good. Oh, thanks, Goldie.
I'll just finish off, mate.